As I said, 70% of the time, people live in stress, and living in stress is living in survival.
We've all been in that place where we're depressed and we're down. And what's interesting is, how do we treat that? What do we do with that? Well, what most people will do is they go take a drug. Or if people are really feeling down in life, they'll go drink some alcohol or maybe smoke a cigarette.
And the definition of stress is when your brain and body are knocked out of balance, out of homeostasis. The stress response is what the body innately does to return itself back to order.
But the truth is, if you look at your life and you were to write down all the emotions you experienced in the week, both good and bad, each of those emotions has tied to it a certain way of using your body. And if you keep using your body that way over and over again, you'll keep feeling that way.
There's one thing that if you did every single day, no joke, it would make an extraordinary difference in whatever mental health issue you're struggling with, and that is exercise. And the reason you've got to exercise every day is because what we know about human beings is that when you physically move, your physiology changes, and that changes your brain.
You've got to detach. You've got to detach from the problems or the stress that you're experiencing so that you can get that perspective of them. Now, there's a couple different types of stress. Now, if it's something that you can control that's causing you stress, well, why aren't you getting control of it? Generally, it's a lack of discipline. So you gotta have the discipline to grab control and make it happen. And when I say you need discipline for that, what that means is these stresses that you're avoiding, they're not gonna go away if you avoid them. So take the discipline to face the stressful situation. Get ahead of it. Don't be afraid of it. Now, there's also stress that's caused by things that you cannot control. And if you remember talking earlier about artillery and how horrible that was, and what made it so horrible was that there's no control over it. So if you can't control something and you can't get control of it, you have to at least embrace what you can. And I'm not saying you're going to embrace artillery shelling, but I'll tell you what, there's only so much you can do, and you cannot completely eliminate it. But you can't control it, so why are you going to worry about it? Why are you going to stress about it?
Getting your heart rate up, getting outside, breathing, feeling connected, getting out of your house, which may make you feel depressed and trapped. Doing that every day, that physical push. You don't have to run. You don't have to go to an aerobics class. Get outside with your dog in the woods. Walk with a good friend for 2 or 3 miles. Doing that every single day not only moves your body, which changes your mind, it gets you out of your physical environment, which is one of the things that people with depression tend to have a hard time doing. And it also creates a bit of momentum and a bit of a routine in your life. You take on just that single thing. Get outside and exercise every single day, as if your life depends upon it, because you know what? It does. Your brain needs it, your body needs it, your mental health needs it.
Meditation was fantastic. Meditation is the biggest gift that I can give anyone. And I would say more than anything, it is whatever reason for success I've had. Because it allows one, back to the two U's, I'll clarify. What I mean is that in your mind, we think, what do you want? And the reality is, when you look at the neuroscience and psychology, that there are different parts of your brain that want different things. And so, in the simplest sense, there is the logical part of your brain that you're conscious of. It's called the conscious. And you think you're being logical and you want to make those decisions. And then there's the subliminal, below the limbic system, part of the brain, which is the emotional, and it's not as conscious to you, but it has more of an influence on you than really the logical one. And so they're not aligned. And so when you're experiencing that pain, or let's say the ego, right, there were two main things. You got an ego barrier and a blind spot barrier. If you can get past your ego barrier and you get past your blind spot barrier, you can accomplish anything, because you also know that you don't have to do everything. You don't have to figure it out yourself. You can take in from other people the different ways to approach things in the best possible way. And so the realization that we all are really struggling with ourselves, and to think which is in control. Meditation helps to deal with the alignment of those two things, because both are valuable. In other words, intuition, imagination, the things we really love, come from our subliminal us's, right? Our needs, whatever they may be. They come from here, that subliminal. They may be valuable. They may be damaging. You don't know the difference. And so when they come up and you're looking at those with your logical mind and you can align those things, you're probably in good shape. If you can do that, that alignment between the subliminal and the logical, and you can do that with other people, so that you can triangulate with other people and say, does that make sense? And get alignment. That alignment is the path to the future, because you only have to know what the best things to do are. You don't have to have them all come up from your head. And for God's sakes, don't be overly opinionated, because just because you have that opinion, it doesn't mean it's true. So that's where the two U's and the alignment really is so important.
As I said, 70% of the time, people live in stress, and living in stress is living in survival. And the definition of stress is when your brain and body are knocked out of balance, out of homeostasis. The stress response is what the body innately does to return itself back to order. When you turn on the stress response and you can't turn it off, now you're headed for disease, because no organism in nature can live in emergency mode for that extended period of time. It's a scientific fact that the hormones of stress downregulate genes and create disease, long-term effects. Human beings, because of the size of the neocortex, we can turn on the stress response just by thought alone. We can think about our problems and turn on those chemicals. That means then our thoughts could make us sick. So if it's possible that our thoughts could make us sick, is it possible then our thoughts could make us well? And the answer is absolutely yes. So then, what are the emotions that are connected to survival? Let's name them. Anger, aggression, hostility, hatred, competition, fear, anxiety, worry, pain, suffering, guilt, shame, unworthiness, envy, jealousy. Those are all created by the hormones of stress. And psychology calls them normal human states of consciousness. I call those altered states of consciousness. So then, we tend to remember those traumatic events more, because in survival, you better be ready if it happens again. And when the survival gene is switched on, you could have 10 really great things that happen to you in your day. And you just have one bad thing that happens, and you cannot take your attention off that bad, that unhappy thing, because survival gene is switched on. Many years ago, after the DNA helix was discovered by Watson and Crick, they said the blueprints of life, you know, all diseases are created from genes. Turns out less than 5%, more like 1% of people on the planet are born with a genetic condition like type 1 diabetes or Tay-Sachs disease or sickle cell anemia. The other 95 to 99% are created by lifestyle and by choices. You can take two identical twins, exact same genome. One dies at 51, the other one dies at 85. Same gene, different environment. So all of a sudden they said, we lied. That was wrong. It's not genes that create disease. It's the environment that signals the gene that creates disease. Well, okay. But that's not the whole truth too, because you could have two people working side by side in the same factory. One gets cancer after being exposed to a carcinogenic for 25 years. Both working for 25 years, the other one has no cancer at all. So there must be some internal order that would cause one person to not get it while another one does. So is it possible then, if the environment signals the gene, and it does, and the end product of an experience in the environment is called an emotion, can you signal the gene ahead of the environment by embracing an elevated emotion? We've done the research on this. We measured 7,500 different gene expressions in a group of people. I came to an advanced event for 4 days, and we had them doing a seated meditation, a walking meditation, a laying down meditation, a standing meditation. And at the end of 4 days, just 4 days, the common 8 genes that were upregulated, 2 genes to suppress cancer cells and tumor growth, 2 genes for neurogenesis, the growth of new neurons in response to novel experiences and learning, the gene that signals stem cells to go to damaged areas and repair them. The gene for oxidative stress was upregulated. We started seeing all these genes that are very, very healthy to cause the body to flourish. Imagine if people were doing that for 3 months. We also measured telomeres, the little shoestrings on the end of DNA that tell us our biological age. We asked people to do the work, meditation, 5 out of 7 days for 60 days. Measure their telomeres that determine their biological age. 60 days later, 74% of the people lengthened their telomeres. 40% significant change. 20% a very remarkable change. That means that they got a little bit of their life back. If it had lengthened by 10%, they got 10% of their life back.
Wherever I was thinking about something else. Anxiety comes because we allow awareness to drift away from the present moment and go into the future or into the past in an uncontrolled way. So the past and the future are not bad things as long as we indulge in them or we enter them with the aim to learn from them. But we don't, if we just allow awareness to travel into the past and the future all the time, it creates anxiety. And we do that because we're afraid. Anxiety comes out of a sense of fear where we allow awareness to go into the future. We create a situation that hasn't happened. We bring it back into the present and start living it as if it has already happened. You keep repeating the process over and over and over again. You build anxiety. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get sick. You think in the future, what if I get sick? Then what happens? Oh my God, I'm going to get sick. And then you bring back the present and you start living that. 5 minutes later, you let your awareness go into the future and you think to yourself, I'm not going to get better. I'm going to get sick. And then you bring awareness back into the present again and you start worrying about it. You keep repeating this process over and over again and you build anxiety. So the way to get overcome stress and anxiety is to really control where your awareness goes. Every time your awareness goes into the future or into the past in an uncontrolled way, bring it back to the present again. And just do this exercise. Be mindful of this throughout the entire day. Don't let your awareness go into the past or into the future in an uncontrolled way.